Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O King, it is therefore essential that every human being hereabout glorify and remember the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. Srila Sukadeva Goswami begins this verse with the word tasmat, or therefore, because in the previous verse he has already explained that there is no auspicious means for salvation other than the sublime process of bhakti yoga. The bhakti yoga process is practiced by the devotees in different methods like hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, worshipping, praying, rendering service in love, becoming friendly and offering all that one may possess. All nine methods are bona fide methods, and either or all of them, some of them, or even one of them can bring about the desired result for the sincere devotee. But out of all the nine different methods, the first one, namely hearing, is the most important function in the process of bhakti yoga. Without hearing sufficiently and properly, no one can make any progress by any of the methods of practice. And for hearing only, all the Vedic literatures are there, compiled by authorized persons like Vyasadeva, who is the powerful incarnation of Godhead. And since it has been ascertained that the Lord is the supersoul of everything, he should therefore be heard and glorified everywhere and always. That is the special duty of the human being. When the human being gives up the process of hearing about the all-pervading personality of Godhead, he becomes victim to hearing rubbish transmitted by man-made machines. Machinery is not bad because through the machines one can take advantage of hearing about the Lord. But because machinery is used for ulterior purposes, it is creating rapid degradation in the standard of human civilization. It is said here that it is incumbent upon the human beings to hear because the scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are made for that purpose. Living beings other than human beings have no ability to hear such Vedic literatures. If human society gives itself the process of hearing the Vedic literature, it will not become a victim to the impious sounds vibrated by impious men who degrade the standards of the total society. Hearing is solidified by the process of chanting. One who has perfectly heard from the perfect source becomes convinced about the all-pervading personality of Godhead and thus becomes enthusiastic in glorifying the Lord. All the great acharyas like Ramanuj, Madhava, Chaitanya, Sarasvati Thakur, or even in other countries, Muhammad, Christ, and others have all extensively glorified the Lord by chanting always and in every place. Because the Lord is all-pervading, it is essential to glorify Him always and everywhere. In the process of glorifying the Lord, there should be no restriction of time and place. This is called Sanatan Dharma or Bhagavad Dharma. Sanatan means eternal, always and everywhere. Bhagavata means pertaining to Bhagavan, the Lord. The Lord is the master of all time and all place. And therefore, the Lord's only name must be heard, glorified, and remembered everywhere in the world. That will bring about the desired peace and prosperity so eagerly awaited by the people of the world. The word cha includes all the remaining process or methods of bhakti yoga, as mentioned above. Om Ajnana Tamirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksurun Malitan Jaina Tasme Shri Guru Venama Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutala Swayam Rupakaramayam Darati Svapantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamlam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Ranpunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva Shaka Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Aripre Vanchakalpatrubhischa Kripasan Nubhya Vicha Patitam Pavanibhya Vaishnavabhya Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Sari Guru Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinavine. So this is the cream on the top. This verse is the cream on the top. It's the ultimate verse you can get in all the scriptures, the hearing and chanting of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in the beginning of this chapter, we heard how gradual process can be made on the path of self-realization. So in the beginning we heard how appreciation for the universal form, Virat Rupa, can advance one in devotional service gradually, if one cannot perfect himself, but through hearing directly, then indirect gradual process in spiritual advancement is there as well. So Vyasadeva is explaining how through just appreciating the creation of this material world, one can make, you know, gradual process. So then after that, it goes into the topic of how one become a jnani, a yogi, etc. in that process. And then yesterday we heard how brilliant it gave. Navadip Chandra gave a brilliant class. I was very, very excited listening at home, but he just broke it down step by step about before coming to this verse. Prabhupada gives it in a nutshell, an analytical study of what we've gone through, what we've come through just before the main topic, the main verse of the Supreme, worshipping the Supreme Personality Godhead. So here it's, he said, Navadvip mentioned in the beginning how we're given a chance to understand within the heart there's a super soul and there's an individual soul. It's very easy to understand this for a common man because we always have two minds to do things. One mind tells us, don't do this, it's not the right thing, even amongst the common men. And another mind says, do it anyway, whatever the consequence is, just accept it. So like if someone even wants to steal, you know, a thief, a burglar, they're always thinking, should I or shouldn't I do it? But always, because this material energy is so powerful that you go, you know, for not the right thing, and eventually you know, misery and suffering comes. So in this way, we trying so hard, and he was mentioning that in the beginning, and then about the super soul and the soul, and then eventually how we have to understand our limitations in this material world, that we have four defects, we make mistakes, there's a cheating propensity, we're in illusion, and what was the other one? Yeah, imperfect senses. So we have so many limitations, and yet we think there's no, we either think there's no God, or we are God, and then we become atheists. But the simple example was given them that the limbs of the body is separate from us, the me, the soul. So he was mentioning very good example. Even if you want to raise your hand, you're not doing it yourself. There's some higher intelligence is lifting your hand. We can't, if the living force wasn't in the body, we wouldn't be able to do this. A dead body cannot lift the hand. And Prabhupada gives a very like gross example I was reading. He said if you chop the arm off and it's lying there, it cannot do anything. It cannot move. It can't do anything unless it's attached to the body. It just disintegrates. It's a horrible example, but, you know, it's useless, basically. A limb that's chopped off from the body is useless. You might be able to survive yourself, but without the living force, without that within that limb, there's no. It's useless. So, a beautiful explanation yesterday, just to bring us to this verse today on hearing and chanting. So, so here the verse outlines how we can achieve this process, and Prabhupada is explaining here the 9 process of devotional service. Hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet. Okay, how do we hear? We're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam every day. I mean, some of us are hearing at home, some of us come to the temple, but some of us don't hear at all. Some of us may be hearing some other music, maybe hearing something that's not palatable to make advancement in Krishna's consciousness. There's so many things you can do through hearing process. But it's explained here that Shravanam, this hearing process, is the most important to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, to go further into, you know, make more advancement. And then you got the chanting of the holy names. I want to read what Lord Chaitanya says about chanting. Beautiful. He's speaking to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya when he converted Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya into a Vaishnava. This is in the Liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, CC Madhya 6, and it's 241. Lord Chaitanya was so excited that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a very, very super learned Mayavad. And when he converted him, he personally went to Jagannath Temple to get some Mahaprasad for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and gave it to him. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a question. He said, then the Bhattacharya asked Lord Chaitanya, which item is the most important in the execution of devotional service? The Lord replied that the most important item was the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So in the purport, it's explained that there are 9 items to be executed in devotional service. These are enumerated in the following verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.23. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. Hearing the glories of the Lord, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering worship in the temple, offering prayers, becoming a servant of the Lord, becoming the Lord's friend, and Sarvatma Nivedana, offering oneself fully at the lotus feet of the Lord. These are the 9 devotional processes. In the Nectar of Devotion, those are expanded into 64 items. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked the Lord which item was most important, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately answered that the most important item is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He then quoted the following verse from the Brihadaranyaka Purana. Anyone know that? Lord Chaitanya quoted a verse to kind of confirm this statement of which is the most important chanting. Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalona Steva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Gatiranyatam. So, he confirmed this with this statement. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. Three times this is said. So we are very, very fortunate indeed to be following this process. And if we do it in the correct way, we will achieve the results. Correct way is very, very important. We'll come to that later. So this first outlines the nine process. And actually, this verse connects to 1865 verse. What's that verse? Vanmada bhava mad bhakto majyaji mamaskaro mamevasyasi satyam te prajajani priyosmi. That we should make Krishna our life. Although here, Vyasadeva is saying, therefore we should always hear, glorify, remember the Supreme. He is saying this about the Supreme Lord. But here in 1865, the Lord himself is saying, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Isn't that beautiful? He says, we will go to him because we are his friend. He said the same thing to Arjuna. I'm disclosing this confidential knowledge because you are my very dear friend. You're not envious of me. So Krishna is so kind. He's giving us an opportunity. And the other verse, 1865 as well. This is 1866 as well, he says. Just surrender to me. I will protect you. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying so many things. He's always saying, he will do this for us. He will do that for us. But just surrender or follow the process. And he's not saying, you know, just do it this way and you will achieve it. He's giving us options, different options. Easier option. And the direct method, if we can. But he's giving us in different stages, you know, to make it easy for our life. So we should try and make Krishna our, you know, a part of our life always. He says, think of me, always remember me, and never forget me. And how we remember him? By rising early in the morning. And when we rise early in the morning, we should always be chanting, whether it's in the shower, or getting ready, wherever, constantly chanting. And Prabhupada said, if we keep practicing this, it becomes a habit. When you rise early, automatically you start singing, you start glorifying, you start remembering. When you practice like that, it becomes a habit. And then after a while, it becomes second nature. You just do it automatic, you know. Actually, automatic shouldn't become mechanical. It's very, very important. Sometimes when we do things every day, then it becomes like in the material world, some people just don't like rising in the morning to go to work. It becomes so tedious, monotonous to them to go to work every day. They get into depression. But for us, we should be very careful that whatever we're doing, like on a daily basis, every day, it shouldn't be mechanical. We should be always conscious about, what we're doing. So, yeah, by rising in the morning, if you want to do, you're doing some yoga, pranayams, you're doing some puja, at least for purification, but constantly be chanting the holy name, glorifying. And then we can remember his name. You've got unlimited names. When you think of Krishna, you think of Krishna with holding a flute, the threefold bending form. Then you think of Keshava, different names of Krishna. You think of Keshava, you're thinking of his, beautiful black curly hair. And Madhava, killing off the demon Madhu. Yadava, from the Yadava dynasty. Govinda, tender of the cows, controller of senses. You know, all these beautiful things, all the names, Krishna's names have meanings to them. And his name signifies a certain pastime. from his name, you remember his pastimes. So it's very beautiful like this. So when you love somebody, then obviously you get to know the person. You want to know the name, you want to know where they're living, you want to know what their activities are. These are the things that we want to know, and we should take time to find out, you know, the details of Krishna, you know, and his activities, his pastime. And in this way we can remember. And he's very personal, he's very personal. He's saying, become my devotee. And as I said, we shouldn't do it in a mechanical way. We should use a thought process. And we should act in such a way that Krishna will notice us, you know. Not that we have to see him or notice. Why can't I see him? Why is he revealing himself? Sometimes we get impatient to want to see Krishna in person. But Prabhupada says we have to first qualify ourselves. Anoint our eyes with the pulp of love before we can see Krishna face to face. And Prabhupada says we can see him. We can see Krishna face to face. There's no question. But we need to qualify ourselves. It may take a long time, but who knows? We don't know when it can happen. And we worship him. We offer incense. We offer flowers, bhoga. Actually, when we come in the morning, we actually perform all the nine process of devotional service, isn't it? We're hearing Bhagavatam, Shravanam, Kirtanam, we're having, you know, kirtans, we're dancing for the Ram, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, we are worshipping, offering flowers. We're doing all the nine process. And then then in that same verse, Manmana 1865, offer your homage unto me. Krishna says, offer you. Everything in our possession actually belongs to Krishna, and we should acknowledge this. Acknowledge that nothing belongs to us. Wealth is passed on to us by our family. We get an inheritance, some, you know, a windfall, but the knowledge should be there that I am not in possession of this wealth. It may be passed on by family members, but always remember that it belongs to Krishna. And never forget that. So how do we think of Krishna? Prabhupada mentions that you always think of Krishna, emphasized in the second paragraph of that same Manmana Bhava, as the bluish boy holding with a peacock feather and holding a flute. This should be our meditation, you know. So can you share that, Prabhu? Yeah. Something exciting you had. Okay, Hare Krishna. So Krishna is speaking to Arjuna very intimately and confidentially to worship his form, his two-armed form. Because when Arjuna saw the universal, Arjuna personally asked Krishna, I want to see this universal form, this Virat-rupa. When Krishna said, are you sure you want to see this? And he said, yes, please, I want to see it. And he did get to see it. But Krishna gave him special eyes to see this form, because it's when you look at the picture, that's the artistic picture of that universal form, you won't want to look at it. It's like, you know, heads and teeth, so many heads. It's not very nice. But Krishna gave Arjuna special eyes to see this form. When he looked at this form, he was so bewildered, and he said to Krishna, please, I beg you to come back to your two-armed form of, you know, with the flute. And, he wanted to fix his mind on this original form of Godhead. So we need to concentrate the mind on this most confidential part of the Lord, this two-arm form with the flute and the peacock feather. So so now we go back to this verse. It talks about machinery. Yeah. When the human being gives up the process of hearing about operating personality Godhead, he becomes victim to hearing rubbish. That's a very strong word. Rubbish transmitted by man-made machineries. Right. In modern times, there's so many machineries created in this world. First of all, newspapers, you know the story about, you know, the miners, they wanted to go to heaven, and they said, if there's no newspapers there, forget it. So this is, Prabhupada was actually telling the story. When he was quoting the story, he was thinking about the miners in Newcastle, I think it was. Anyway, machinery can be used for, you know, we use machinery in the temple. We use computers. Typewriters is off now, right? We use computers, we had mobile phones, iPhones, iPad. We do all the modern facilities. But the usage is the difference. The difference between transcendental usage and mundane usage. What all our activities are dovetails to serving Krishna with this machinery. But the machinery used outside is used for what? Newspapers, novels, books. Yeah. Yeah. And after, when it's finished, where does it go to? And that's why he's calling it rubbish. Rubbish transmitted by man-made machines. All the literatures that are published, that are written, it goes in the rubbish bin, in the dustbin. So we need to select what we are reading. It's very, very important. And here it's explained that how we should, when we're choosing what we read or what we hear, we have to be very careful how we do it. We have to hear sufficiently. And I was looking at the meaning of what sufficiently means. I mean, to meet one's needs, quality, following the route, to do it to one's best. That's the meaning I got from the dictionary. And properly, how do you... So one time I was listening to a class and where Prabhupada saying, sit properly. Everything should be done in a fit manner. Meaning of properly is to do it in a fit manner, strict in accordance to the fact. We have to be strict with ourselves in how we carry about to do something correctly. Properly means to do something correctly to full extent or completely, you know. We always have to do the best that we can on carrying out something. So, not hearing about Krishna is always a bad outcome. Then, if we're not hearing about Krishna, then we talk about, we become worldly conscious. And then we want to listen to the world news, we want to find out where you're going, what you're doing today. It's like chit-chatting, you know, mundane. So, knowledge without Krishna is based on theory only. Like Darwin's theory, the Big Bang theory, all these things are like, there's no logic and reason with them. No happiness, no purification, no results. So we're reading, but we don't get any benefit from them. There's no service or activity that is joyfully performed, we have to go back to being like depressed or suffering in this world, repeated birth, death, old age, disease, not understanding how to get out of the samsara, how to overcome the stress of everyday's life. There's no happiness, and we think that we're getting some licking the outside of the bottle. This is not even licking the honey off the outside of the bottle. That's how bad it is for us, which is there's no results, no end results. So from hearing, you judge by the results of hearing. What is it doing for you? How is it helping you? Because we see spiritual leaders that have taken to this process, they are like spreading the message all over the world. They're taking it to every part of the world, like Lord Chaitanya said, take this message to every town and village. And Prabhupada is mentioning here, we may think, oh, why is he mentioning like Jesus Christ, Muhammad? But Jesus Christ is like, he spread the message of the God call, God consciousness so far and wide. It's over 2,000 years and his name is still being heard. The message is of God is still being spread. So, and also the Muslim religion, Muhammad, although there's a tendency to be radical about, you know, Islam or whatever, but still the message is going around about, you know, the Quran, the teachings of the Quran, it's still going on. So therefore Prabhupada is mentioning here that all the great acharyas like Ramanuj, Madhava, Chaitanya, Saraswati Thakur, even in other countries, Muhammad, Christ and others have all extensively glorified the Lord by chanting always in every place, everywhere. They're chanting. So, so this Harinam and book distribution, prasadam, brings peace and prosperity. We can see. People wonder why when we go on Harinam, people wonder why we're so happy. Are we taking something, you know, some intoxicant? Even when we give them the sweet, what's in the sweet? I mean, some people love it. They think there's some kind of drug in it and they grab it. They want to take it. These people are so high, they must be eating these sweets. Let me try one of them. So they take the sweets. So, yeah, we distribute sweets. And they can see us happy. The proof is there when it's done properly. They say the proof of the pudding is in the eating. So when you take prasadam, you do get results. So our happiness is not selfish. We shouldn't be selfish. We are happy. We're serving Radha Gokulananda. We have devotees. We're feeling blissful. So we shouldn't be selfish. We should give this out to others. We should be happy to be able to engage other people in service and see the blissfulness and happiness in their face as well, just like how we feel, you know, blessed and happy. So in text 34, it explains our Lord Brahma, he studied the Vedas 3 times. He got the knowledge directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead through hearing. And then he studied 3 times over. Then Prabhupada explains how, even in modern day, our students, when they want to pass exams, they study 3 times. They study. Sometimes they study all night so they can remember and they get to get the grades to go to university or college or whatever. They really study. Some people I know tell me that they drink coffee or they, you know, they have some stimulant at night to keep awake so they can study. So this is serious business to study. So we should also study. I know Chintamani and Bhagavad Krishna Dharma, they always emphasize this hearing and chanting and reflection. It's so very important. Only if you hear and you reflect, then you can remember. Sometimes we get tested on a Monday morning when Srila Prabhupada is giving a beautiful class. And if we don't be, if we're not attentive and we're not listening properly, obviously we're sitting down very sheepish, thinking, I hope he doesn't ask me. Because it's very difficult. Kali Yuga memory is so bad. Someone says something to you like a minute ago, and if you're not attentive, you can't remember. What did you say, Prabhu? Sorry, I didn't hear you then. Sometimes we say it about three times. Sorry, I didn't hear you. But it's not that we didn't hear. We didn't concentrate. We weren't attentive. So when we're calling someone's name, imagine if we're calling someone's name and they just ignore us and walk past. It would be very rude, isn't it? So just like that, if we're calling out Krishna's name, we're calling out his name, and we're looking away, or we're doing something else, or we're talking, or we're listening to something, or we're constantly doing something else, then it's not very nice. It's you're ignoring. Then you think about a friend or a lover or someone. If you do the same thing to them, it won't be very nice. So Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He should be given more attention. So this other books, other reading of books and hearing only creates a bondage, you know, further into the material world. So I'll stop there for now. Okay, I just wanted to give a little Sankirtan story because I noticed that everyone start, you know, gives Sankirtan stories. I've got just 2 minutes. In 1987, I spent 1 year in Scotland doing Sankirtan, and it was very difficult, super difficult, because I had to go for 1 whole year on my own distributing books. And in those days, we had to distribute Maha big books like this, but it was the Grand Classics. Some of you might know the Grand Classics by Bhagavan. It's a big book, Maha big. So we used to distribute those books, and I used to travel around Scotland on my own, doing shop to shop. On Saturdays, the street, and during the week, in the shops. So actually, I was told by this person to tell the story, so it might be self-indulgent, but anyway. So anyway, distributing, and then I went to this one shop. And in those days, we never leave a place when we don't give a book. We just stand there and speak. So I went to the shop, and I spoke to this gentleman, and it was an Indian gentleman, and he pulled out a chair. I sat down, and I started giving the philosophy, talking about Hare Krishna. He knows the temple in Karuna Bhavan. He was a Hindu, so he knew a little bit, but he was wrapped up in business. And anyway, I talked to him over a long time, and I said, we're giving these books out, these classics. I had the classics. We had Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna book, and I'm not sure whether there was CC. Anyway, I gave him the book, and I went out. And then, actually, I only found this out a few years back, maybe, you know, 6, 7 years back, I found out this person. So he had a daughter. She was about maybe 12, 13-year-old daughter, and she managed to pick up the book. He didn't touch the book. She managed to pick up the book and read the book. But when she was 15, she went to the temple. She went to Karuna Bhavan, and she became a devotee from that book. And she's married to Ajokshita, Jagannath Priya, she's called. So, and another devotee from there, he's called Ram Prashad. I went to his father's office. You don't know these things until people join and you find out the names. Because there's so many devotees are made. I was reading somewhere that one person Guru Shakti met, I don't know if you saw this online, she met someone in Liverpool, and he's been chanting for 5 years without meeting any devotees. 5 long years. So anyway, I went to this one office, and I was speaking to this gentleman, Scottish gentleman. I said, you know, we're giving out these books, and it's about yoga, I gave him the lines and stood there talking to him. I don't know if he was listening to me or what, but I think he was waiting when I would leave. But I didn't want to leave. He didn't ask me to leave. So I stood there talking and talking. And then eventually he gave me some money, I think, to just get rid of me. He gave me about 10 or 20 quid for a classic. And then he took that book, he put it on his shelf, and that was there for ages. So one day his son came to the office, and he said, "Dad, what's this book you got on the shelf?" And he said, "Oh, some girl came into the shop, and just to get her to go, I had to take that book." So that book was on the shelf. And the son took the book, he read it, and he joined the temple in Karunavam, and he's called Ram Prasad Took Initiation, my god brother. So these are the people we know, but there's others, you know, through this book distribution. We're getting so many people that are, you know, getting benefit from them and coming to the temple. We don't even know someone that comes to the temple, we gave that person a book, or we talk to that person, because we're doing so many, we don't kind of remember all of them. So in our heart of hearts, we should always think how we should give others, you know, how we can benefit others from what we're getting, and not looking for the results. Sometimes it encourages us to know about the results, so we can tell others and encourage them to do the same. So in that way, it's very blissful. Okay, we still got 1 to 3 minutes for questions. If anyone want to add something or give some enlightenment, please do. Thanks for listening. Yeah. 86, I got married 86, and 3 months after that, I was shunted off to Scotland to do book distribution. Actually, I went there. I went to do pujari service, but I was tricked. I was tricked and sent on the streets. Book distribution. This is the story. Anyway, it's a beautiful story.
Yeah, thank you, Lalita Sakipabu, for the class. Very nice. You know, I wanted to, when you were talking about sufficient hearing, you know, I just want to share what came to my mind, you know. Sufficient hearing, in my case, probably is really like to hear, because we want to control the mind, isn't it? So if I hear throughout the day in a good way, you know, then I have a better chanting next day. So this could be maybe also one way of seeing sufficient hearing, you know. So, which helps us to control the mind. Yeah, and then you were talking about chanting and hearing. Yeah, and you said you will talk later more about it. I didn't get that point, really, that you talk more about it. So I just wanted to ask, when you point out, because there is a apparently contradiction in some ways, isn't it? One time we hear hearing is most important, and then we hear, you recited from Srimad Bhagavatam, from Chaitanya Charitamrita, chanting is more important, you know. So so how do we understand this?
Actually, Prabhupada explains in that same purport at the bottom, he says solidified chanting. Solidified chanting. If you're chanting seriously, hearing properly, they go together, chanting and hearing. When you're chanting, you're hearing. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya said, you have to chanting is the most important, because it purifies, chaito darpanam marjanam. It purifies the dust from the heart accumulated for lifetimes after lifetime. So that chanting is connected to the hearing. When you're chanting, simultaneously you're hearing. And that's connected to the heart. So there's no first and second. Shravanam, Kirtanam is connected together. When you're chanting, you're hearing. Solidified chanting. Solid chanting means you're hearing with attention. Therefore, we chant the 10 offenses every morning. You know, blasphemy. To not take the chanting and replace it with something else. Pure name. Krishna and his name is non-different. You cannot separate Krishna from his name. So Krishna, his name, and hearing his name, there's no difference. But by solid chanting, you get solid hearing. It goes to the heart. Okay? Chantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Oh, sorry. David, he wants to tell us what he was talking about. Sorry.
Thank you for the class, Mataji. I was just wondering, in terms of preaching, if someone is like a Christian or a Muslim and they're following the path, is it our place to emphasize the importance of Lord Chaitanya's message and Krishna consciousness?
Yeah, it's a beautiful a story you can give about the Chankazi. We can't get into the real, you know, about meat eating and this and that, because you might just put them away. But you can give that story about the Chankazi. Lord Chaitanya came 500 years ago, and then you ask them, you be very friendly and ask them, how long ago did Muhammad come around? And they would tell you how long ago. Then you say, okay, 500 years ago, Lord Chaitanya was here, and he met a Muslim king, Chankazi, and you tell the story about that, how this Chankazi had a dream, and in his dream he was attacked, you know, by a form of God. And then he changed his attitude towards. And then you have to, we can say to them that the scripture is one. We don't condemn any religions, you know, if it's bona fide. Like you talk about Jesus Christ, said he was the Son of God. He didn't say he was God, did he? Muhammad came, he said he is a prophet of God. They don't have a form of God. They have the star and the moon on the flag. They have the star and the moon, but they haven't got a absolute form of God, do they, the Muslims? They say Allah is God, but I don't see a form of God. A personal form, I mean. I don't see. Like Jesus Christ, he didn't say he was God, and he told the people, I have many more things to say to you, but you're not ready yet, in the Bible. So he gave the people, at that time, Jesus Christ, he gave the people a simple thing like teaching them about love of God, and he got crucified for that, you know. So, and he was humble. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. God is very merciful. Even if you try to kill him, he will forgive you. That's why the Christians say Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. So you should, you know, worship him. Yes, Krishna is willing to die for us. All we need to do is surrender to him. But we can't preach fundamental stuff with Christians or Muslims. We need to befriend them. Prabhupada never was like to, I mean, he can be extreme. Prabhupada can be extreme because he's Prabhupada. He knows, you know, the philosophy and how to go about. He makes friends. And then he calls them rascals. He can do that, but we have to be a little more careful. We want to befriend them so they can slowly, you know, become devotees. Subtle preaching. Is that okay, David? Thank you.
Sumataji, thank you very much. So you mentioned form, the Lord. So we've not known God until now in Krishna consciousness in terms of form.
Mm.
And that's one area I find very challenging, actually, if I was in a debate with a Christian or a Muslim, how to present God with a form, accept, for them to see Him with a form, how to accept Him. Because that's what makes Krishna consciousness revolutionary, in the sense that God has a form. So I'm from a Christian tradition, and as you say, God is love and all these things, but never a form. It was not there. So when I came to Krishna consciousness, God is a form. I could see Krishna in a form, and then it was a little bit of a shock, to me. It was, even though I was quite open to accept it, this philosophy, because I realized that it was fairly high philosophy,
mm-hmm.
and I would say the absolute truth. Even then, I receive it as the absolute truth. But without a form, the Muslims and the Christians, they will find it very difficult to digest.
Mm.
That one aspect, which is it's absolute truth. God has a form. He's personal. But yet, very difficult for them to come to that place of acceptance.
They even find it more difficult, because when I was Sankirtan once, I approached a Muslim girl. I was giving her a book, and she said to me, "I don't want to hear anything about what you have. I don't want to hear your philosophy. I don't believe anyone that worship elephants and monkeys." Do you know what I mean? Yeah, she said she hears that we worship all sorts of things, you know, animals, human beings, all sorts. So, you know, Krishna actually give people what they need. You know, whatever people desires, he gives that. The thought process, whatever they want, they get. Like you said, you wasn't believed, but because you were receptive, you pious, and you've come to this stage, but you weren't here before, but you're here now. So gradually, these people, just by coming in touch with a devotee, that is progress in their life. And Prabhupada said once, if someone doesn't take a book and he doesn't receive anything, Krishna in the heart is telling the person, you're not ready for it now. You're not ready for a book now.
Definitely. Sorry, I know you've got to close.
You want? Yeah. So then they say Jesus Christ is God. They say that Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Anyway, you had something else to say? Okay. Thank you very much, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Go permanently.